again. And a huge thank you to the people at Lausanne for allowing me to join them. And you want to just say, welcome to everyone, say hi to folks looking at the internet.
Hi!
They can't see you, but you can look in later on and you can see the service on the Sanctuary First Facebook page if you come on. Can I just say how excited Martha and I are to be with you this month? We had a wonderful time here in September, and we're looking forward to spending some time again with you here this month. Now, I was thinking, what should we talk about? And then I realised that the Archbishop of Canterbury has made an appeal to Christians between the days, the 10 days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday, to pray the prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. And the Archbishop of Canterbury started this about 2 years ago, and his idea would be, what would happen if Christians all around the world prayed that prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, not only for themselves, but for their families, for their friends, for their network? What kind of world could it be if we actually took seriously that prayer and that phrase, Thy Kingdom Come? I want us to think about not only our family and our friends, but I thought, what if we prayed that prayer for our enemies, for those we don't get on with, for those we have lost relationships and broken relationships? What happened if we prayed over them and over that situation, Thy Kingdom Come? What a difference it would be. So today I want to ask the question, where do we start to bring the kingdom in? Where do we start as Christians? How do we go about it? So that's this week. I'm going to try and answer that question. Where do we start bringing the kingdom in? Now, to bring it back next week, this is now the trailer. Next week, I want to talk about Pentecost Sunday. And I want to pick up that doxology at the very end of the Lord's Prayer. You know the doxology, which says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now, sometimes you won't see that in some of the versions of the scriptures, but it was an addition. It was a doxology that was added in as part of the prayer with the Christian community praying it. And of course, it's a great doxology to think about on Pentecost Sunday, when we think of the power and the glory of the risen Christ by the power of the Spirit revealing Himself to us. And then the following week, I want to think about, to take up, lead us not into temptation. I think this is an area we all know about. This is an area we all walk in every week, every day. And what does that mean? Do not lead us and take us to the time of trial. So we're going to think about that. And then I want to think about, I suppose, towards the end, to summarize the whole Lord's Prayer with this kind of phrase, God's open heart. Because the whole of the Lord's Prayer is really a summary of the gospel, of what we need to know. And so that's where we're going. And I hope that you'll stay with me and hang in this morning as we now start to think about, what does it mean to bring the kingdom in? So this is not a series of extensive theological biblical teaching. It's rather a series of short sermons that I want to be inspirational to you, to help you and help all of us see that we belong to God's kingdom and that we have a place in it. Yet we are not disassociating ourselves from the world around us. So when we pray, bring your kingdom in, it's not that we're looking for something that's going to come, but, you know, is in a distant place. But we want to bring others into that kingdom. So we're not disassociating ourselves from the world around us. The very contrary, we're seeking to bring that world into the very presence of God. So, now if you look at the prayer, you'll find there are seven phrases in the prayer. And these seven phrases, the first three are phrases that speak about who God is, and speak about the character of God. And that's the first thing we need to learn. How do we bring the kingdom in? We can only bring the kingdom in when we begin to understand the character of God, who God is, that God is our Father. Jesus said, you know the background to the Lord's Prayer? The disciples come to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray, because John the Baptist taught his disciples, he gave them a prayer. And that's quite a common thing, by the way. Rabbis in the ancient world would often give their followers or give their disciples a prayer that they would memorize and keep and quote, so that they would memorize the summary of the rabbi's teaching. And so the Lord's Prayer is a summary of all Jesus was teaching his disciples. And it starts with saying, Jesus wanted his disciples to know that God was their Father. And you might say, but show us the Father. Remember Philip said that in John chapter 14, I think it was Philip or Thomas, I think it was Philip, but you can pick me up on that if I'm wrong. But Philip says, show us the Father. And then Thomas says, how do we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So how do you know God the Father? How do you get to know the God the Father? It's by getting to know Jesus, who Jesus is. And the key thing that Jesus comes to tell us about God the Father is that God the Father loves us so much. And I think some of us need to hear this, because sometimes we think we're not worthy to be loved. But whether we think we're worthy to be loved or not, we are loved by God. God cares for us. And that love of the Father is so important. Have you thought about this? How did Jesus sustain himself in his earthly life? It was because he knew he was loved by God the Father. And he often talks about this, I and my Father are one. Knowing the Father and knowing he was loved by the Father enabled him to be sustained. And you see, if he now comes and tells us that God is our Father, then the same Father who loves the Son loves you and me. And so you are someone who is deeply loved by God. And you begin to bring the kingdom in when you begin to understand that. But secondly, our Father who is in heaven, reminding us something of the presence of God, that God is leading us beyond ourselves out into another place. That we are people, citizens of another kingdom, but yet we're part of this world. But this is not the end. We journey through life and we have a finite existence here, but there is something more. Our Father is in heaven. Our Father is in another dimension. Heaven is not necessarily up in the sky, but it's in another dimension. And we're people made for another dimension. There's something within our hearts that makes us aware of that, because we long for something more. Hallowed be your name. There is something special and holy about God the Father, separate but complete. God who truly loves and in loving makes himself and is holy and separate, but yet uniquely loving and fulfilling and loving us. And holiness and love are very much linked together, as is freedom. And you can think of this through, and communion with God the Father. These things are all tied in together into the very character and nature of God. And we are called to be people who understand that and begin to allow that to change the way we think about ourselves. I want you to ask yourself this morning, do you know God the Father like that? And the way to get to know God the Father is to start to discover how much you know the Son, Jesus. So that draws us into a relationship with Jesus that helps us begin to change the world in which we're living in. The next part of the prayer, there is four phrases that are all about who we are, dealing with our lives as Christians. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts and our debtors. We're going to look at that in this month. And then lead us not into temptation. And of course, week, lies the kingdom of power and glory. But to pray, thy kingdom come, changes everything. Stop for a moment this morning and think about your circle of friends. Think of the connections you have. You have a circle of friends that are your family. Your members of family, you know them. The names and the faces come into your head just now in church. Then you have friends. And then you have social connections. Do you know what that is? You know, the person you see in the garage, or the person in the shop that you buy food from, they're all there. And then there's folks in the church. And then there's social media, and you might have a whole lot of friends on Facebook or in different areas that you might not see face to face, but you count them as your friends. Each one of these people all have got things in their minds that they're struggling with, and there is a longing for more. Most people I know, even when they've got everything they want, they're looking for just that little bit more. There's something more, there's something missing. Isn't it funny how when you get the new car that you wanted, and after you've got it for 2 or 3 weeks, it's an old car. It's not quite what you wanted. It's just not quite there. There's something within the human nature that we're searching for something more. But there are people we know this morning who are stressed and worried. People who are anxious, who get friends who are facing illness, broken relationships, people who are unemployed, people worried about their income and their debt, people worried about their children growing up. What are they going to be? Where are they going to go? And what about their future? That's the world in which we are living. And that's the world in which we are going to pray. You know, it might be an interesting thing to say to that friend, you know, who's worried this week about something, to say, catch up with them and say, you know what, tell them a story. I've decided the Archbishop of Canterbury is asking all us Christians to pray thy kingdom come. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the kingdom to come for you, that something good's going to happen, that God's going to sort out the issues that are facing you. You might have the courage to say that to them, you might not. But it doesn't matter. As long as you pray that for them, that's an important thing. But sometimes you'll be amazed at the response you get from people when you tell them you're remembering them in prayer. I've never had anyone in all my life say to me, oh, don't pray for me. Never. In fact, 1 year when I had a student or an probationer minister, I said to him, I want to show you how people who don't go to church still believe in prayer. And so we went out around the parish, where I was a minister in Glenest, we went around the parish. And we went afternoon, and we just knocked on doors. Now, I'd been in the parish for a long time, so people knew me, so that made it a lot easier. But people would open the door and say, hello. And I said, I've come here to ask you, is there anything you want me to pray about in church on Sunday during the time of prayers and intercession? Is there anything you'd like us to pray about? And you know, no one refused to give me an item for prayer. And I always remember this one man came and he opened the door and he had, you know, we call it in Scotland, we call it his simit. You know, he'd on his vest and he was shaving, his shaving foam in his face. And he had a razor in his hand, and he looked at me and he said, what do you want? And I plucked up my courage, and I told him I was coming, I was a minister, and I was looking for items for prayer for church on Sunday. And he said, oh, I've got no items for prayer. And then he stopped for a moment, and he looked at me, and he said, that's not right. I was just thinking about wee Sadie across there, you know, when sharing. She's struggling with cancer at the moment. And I was just thinking how I might help her. Is that a prayer? I said, that's a prayer. We'll pray for Sadie. You see, when we pray the kingdom come, and pray that prayer, thy kingdom come, it is praying the dreams and visions will be fulfilled, that good things will happen in our world. Jesus was able to speak to people and talk to them, and he wasn't afraid to have conversations with them. You ever thought about how he spoke to the woman at the well? He wasn't afraid to just talk right into her life. He asked her for something, and he had a conversation with her, and then he spoke to her about her life. He said, "I can give you water, and you'll never be thirsty again." And he was picking up that theme that we read in Isaiah 55 this morning. "Come unto me, all you who are thirsty, come and buy water, come and buy wine, and come and buy milk without price." And Jesus was offering that to people. And the kingdom coming, and God's kingdom coming, is that offer of fulfillment, of the longing that people have in their lives for something more. Or think about the young man who came to Jesus. And here's an interesting thing. He had an idea of eternity in his heart. You know, it's a strange thing. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, you know, "You have given us so many things, but there's one thing you have placed in our hearts, a sense of eternity." And we have that sense of eternity that God has placed in our hearts. And this young man came to Jesus and he said, "How can I get this eternal life?" And we know the story how Jesus spoke to him. And Jesus loved him and looked into his heart, but then he saw the one thing that he was holding on to. He said, "Go sell what you have. Give it to the poor. Come and be my follower." Now, it wasn't that Jesus was saying he robbed of wealth. For this young man, wealth was everything. And he couldn't give it up. But Jesus spoke into his life. Jesus spoke into the part that would have brought the kingdom in for him. Well, think of the stories of the 10 lepers who were healed, but only one came back. But the kingdom was brought into their lives by that experience. So we need to realize that as we go and bring the kingdom in, that the Lord goes before us. He goes before us. He's already prepared the hearts of people that you might meet. We are the connectors that brings the kingdom in for so many people, by the way we live our lives, by the way we talk, by the interactions we have, by the network we have. So here's the question again, going back to the very beginning. So what about your family? What about your friends? What about your neighbours? What about those people who you see regularly? Could you pray your kingdom come for them over the next 10 days? And if you've got courage, could you maybe say to them, "You know, John, I know you're struggling, and I can't do an awful lot, but I have been praying that God's kingdom would come into your life. Something good would happen." And that's the power of prayer. So, we're called to bring the kingdom in, but we've got to remind ourselves, we start with ourselves, knowing that God has loved us, and we are loved by God, and He longs for us to know His kingdom in our lives. Shortly we're going to break bread together. We're going to share in that wonderful act of communion. We'll remind ourselves that the presence of Christ goes with us into our every day. He said, "I will not leave you alone, but I will send the Comforter." And of course, next Sunday we're going to be thinking about that Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's come to indwell our lives. Well, this is exciting stuff. This is stuff to take out and start sharing in the world, and that beginning to believe that these prayers we pray really have power and can really change people's lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.